For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Spoiler alert, he dies at the end. When a spoiler isn't actually a spoiler at all. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. Coming to you from the comfortable gray couch in the cozy condominium in still somewhat peaceful Plano, Texas. I'm going to have to figure out a new intro for this show. Because for All of the Above Radio, you had, you know, coming to you from the Red Room of the Fishbowl Studios in Arlington, Texas. There was a whole opening to that. And then there was a whole opening after the opening telling you all the vitals. There were so many more once upon a time. You could still find me on Facebook.com/allofthe above radio if you want. I haven't been on the page in a while. I still get likes. I posted a ton of memes for a really long time. So there's still a lot of fun content on there, just not current content. You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank Hey How You Doing. If you want to contact me, allofthe above radio@gmail.com or THEHRT3@gmail.com. And yeah, I'll go ahead and hawk for my Venmo at the only Henry Thorpe. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are dead in the middle of, at time of recording this, we are dead in the middle of Spider-Man No Way Home releasing. And I was on Facebook this morning, and it's and one of my buddies, actually my cousin, posted a picture of Spider-Man with his finger over his mouth doing the SHHH sound, and it just said no spoilers. Which there is, of course, a remedy to that. Don't get on Facebook. Or rush to the theater as best you can. I won't be able to see it this weekend. I'm aiming for early in the week. But so far, people have been very good about not spoiling. And I'm not one of those people who likes to get on YouTube and watch a lot of trailers. I want to be as surprised as humanly possible. I want to just sit, absorb, and feel like everything's new when it comes to sitting down at a movie theater. I want to be fully immersed, fully surprised. I don't want to have any fan theories. I don't want to watch trailers and then think, oh, well, that's going to happen still. Well, that's going to happen. Well, that's going to happen. And people have told me over and over again these days, especially as the Marvel Cinematic Universe got bigger and bigger, people have said, no, it's okay to watch the trailer. The scenes are so cut up that it doesn't even really give anything in the movie away. I still don't want to see it. I still have no interest in watching it. And what's funny is that I won't watch any fan theories or trailers 9 times out of 10 for a movie I want to see. But boy, will I watch the amount of mock drafts I will read once it gets to be NFL draft season, or if you are a fan of a terrible team, all year is mock draft season, but I will read endless amount of mock drafts, knowing full well that whatever the hell happens is actually what happens, versus any half-assed college scout. And by the way, I will always remember this. When I used to listen to the Russ Martin Show, now known as the RMS, that used to be one of their favorite bits, was ruining endings to movies. And they actually ruined the end because they would one of their employees would go to an advanced screening maybe 2 days before. And so the day it came out, they would just randomly slip in a spoiler, a big one. And they spoiled the ending of Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 3. And I was so upset. But when it comes to my movie experience, I like to know what I like to not know what I'm getting into. I just want to watch it cold and just be amazed. Hopefully. So why did I open up telling you all of this? Because there is one time that I actually prefer to not walk in cold, when I prefer to be somewhat studied and prefer to know what I'm getting into. That's concerts. I do my best, and you know this, having been listening to me for a while, I will study the albums as best I can so that I am refamiliarized and reabsorbed into the music that I'm about to listen to. And it's a lot of fun to kind of get caught up on the music or to hear the new stuff that you think they're going to play. And I ask you guys what you think about this. Do you guys do the quote-unquote cheat sheet, like the concert cheat sheet, and go look up the set list of what the band is going to play? For years, I felt like that was so cheap. I went to a lot of concerts from, we'll call it 2013. And really, actually, no, end of 2012, up until this point I'm talking to you, I have been to so many concerts. And the amount of set lists I have looked at I can count it on one hand. And the amount of concerts I've been to, well, if I really wanted to start playing this game, I would have to start by telling you the amount of bands I've seen more than twice. There are several. So the percentage of times I have looked at a set list before I've gone to a concert, it's got to be less than 5%. Let's just go that route. I love being prepared to go to a concert. I love being familiar with what I think they're going to play. And, not going to lie, I had gone to so many shows that it was kind of fun to sort of like write what I thought the set list was going to be. Never actually writing it down, but as the songs are unfolding, I'm kind of... When I was with a concert buddy, I would say, okay, they haven't played this yet. They haven't played this yet. They're getting ready to slow it down. I think they're going to play this one. It was so fun to be right and to be able to kind of predict what they were going to play. It was a lot of fun. And it just feels like cheating to me when you look up the set list. Until I've gotten a little bit older. In the last year or so, I've thought more about it. I've thought more about looking to see what they're going to play. And skip straight to the songs so you know exactly what they're going to play. And see, that's why I call it a cheat sheet. Because then you don't have to listen to... If you're going to see Tool, and they've been making music since, we'll just say 1991 or so that I know of, that's a lot of music to listen to. That's a lot of time that you're being consumed purely by one band's music. So looking at a set list, totally get it. I'm starting to kind of roll around to that side. I'm starting to say, yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense. But once upon a time, all I had was time. Because really all I was doing was working out, doing the show, and going to concerts. That's what a solid year and a half of my life looked like. For that short amount of time, it was pretty fun. But I'm a little older now, and I need to be a little more economical and expedient with my time. So here we are. The real reason I'm talking to you right now. On one side, I have going to movies where I want to be 100% surprised. And on this side, over here, I have concerts where I would prefer not to know the set list, so I want to be surprised with what they play, but I want to be familiar with it enough to be able to lip sync or lip sync along or feel the vibe and feel the energy and know the vibe. So on the left, I have no spoilers, no trailers, no fan theories, no nothing. And then on the right side, I have some like studying for the test, but then just showing up and knowing. So somewhere in the middle is my most recent experience with going to the theater. So for the most part, going to the theater is very similar to going to a movie, where I don't want to know anything, I just want to walk in cold. Because it's a story being told that is fresh. Now here's where a spoiler is actually something you genuinely don't care about, and it doesn't matter. It's when you're seeing a historical piece. If you haven't figured out where I'm going with all of this, within the last month or so, I jumped on the worldwide phenomena of Hamilton, and it was purely out of a whim. My sister texted me and my fiance one day and said, hey, would you guys be interested in seeing Hamilton? And for those of you who are not wickedly familiar, that was a happy accident. Hamilton is the story written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, based on a book from 2004, I believe, about one of America's founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. And the musical in its first run on Broadway absolutely shook theater, made a ridiculous amount of money, and we are now at a point where the movie, basically people, I need to look up the number. I wonder if I could find that for you before I finish talking to you, but the amount of subscribers to Disney Plus purely to watch Hamilton, it had to be absolutely astounding. Because the hype just kept rolling and rolling and rolling downhill. So you know what happens to me, your humble host. Hey, how you doing? When something gets more and more hyped, I run further and further away from it. So not only do you have this critically acclaimed musical, it's making an endless amount of money, and now it's enormous on Disney Plus. Yeah, I didn't touch it at all. It first released in 2015, I want to say. And didn't know a thing about it, had never heard a song about it, nothing. And my sister just said, hey, would you see that? And enough time had passed where I was just kind of thinking, yeah, okay, I guess we probably should. And my fiance said the same thing. So we made a plan of it. And see, now that they are touring all across the country, it's considerably cheaper than it was a few years ago. It was absolutely painfully expensive the first time it swung through Dallas. Now, considerably more doable. And so, leading up to it, I was telling people, I'm going to see Hamilton. And some people said to me, you know what you really need to do? You need to familiarize yourself with the music. You need to listen to the soundtrack. Which, by the way, something I had heard before. I had asked a few people, do I need to see the show to appreciate the music? They said, no, the music is so good that it doesn't matter. That didn't really jive with me because that felt weird. Like, why are you gonna listen to a soundtrack of a movie you don't plan to watch? Huh? Weird. Anyway, you hear a lot of people telling you, oh, the music is so good, it doesn't really matter. And to give you a little bit more background, if you're not familiar with Hamilton, or if you just want to hear it again, stay with me. It is written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, a Puerto Rican man from New York. And it is aside from King Henry, it is a fully non-white cast, 100% musical, and the music is hip-hop and R&B and hard rap based. There is little to almost no dialogue, except for within the confines of songs and breakdowns. And in more than one spot in the show itself, there's actual straight ahead, like standing face to face rap battles. And people were telling me, hey man, the lyrics are going to blow by really fast. You're not going to be able to keep up with it. You need to listen to the music ahead of time. To which I brought that up to my sister. And she said, so the person that said that to you, are they people that don't... She was as nice as could be about the question she was trying to ask. And she said, so the person that brought that up to you, are they non-rap heads? There's somebody out there listening to this that's just kind of shaking their head and saying, oh, I know what she's saying. And the answer is yes, non-rap head that was saying that. And so I just kind of struggled with that thought of, well, yeah, I'd like to be able to keep up, but I also kind of am treating this like a movie where I would like to be immersed in the experience. But here's where it's a little different with Hamilton. Hamilton is not necessarily a movie like Spider-Man, where this is all fresh new material that's building to something else. But it has that element of wanting to immerse yourself, but it also has the element of a concert where you want to be studied so you can feel along with it. So you know what I did? And I'm so glad that this worked out in my favor. Instead of listening to the music, what I did was actually just paid attention to history, knowing full well that this was written about somebody who was part of America's founding fatherhood. I just went back into the history books, quote unquote. I read large pieces of Alexander Hamilton's Wikipedia, and then spent about 25 to 30 minutes looking up different factual websites about Alexander Hamilton's life. And you wouldn't believe it, or maybe you would. There is endless amounts of websites that give you just really just quick 10 to 15 bullet points about the life of Alexander Hamilton, which, by the way, fascinating life. And it's interesting to think about just how much one person could do when you look at the vacuum that was happening in, what, 1780 or so, of just how much the country was changing, or how much flux was about to happen or could have happened. So spending about 30 minutes reading about the life of Alexander Hamilton was actually kind of the perfect study piece, because I sat down and it's not a spoiler to know that Alexander Hamilton was killed. For God's sakes, there's a Got Milk commercial about it, which, by the way, I am old enough to remember this, but does anybody else remember that commercial? You can look this up on YouTube if you don't remember it. In the late 90s, there was the Got Milk campaign, where there was a whole bunch of different situations where people really needed milk. You know, our good friends, the advertising agencies, convincing you that cow dairy is good for you. Calcium, sure, is good for you. Cow dairy, I'm not fully sold on that. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of these commercials where people are in these situations where they could use some milk. And one of them is, and this is more stuff that old people remember, a radio contest where the guy is eating a peanut butter sandwich and he basically has a shrine to Aaron Burr. He has the bullet encased under glass. He's got pictures of it. He's got books about it. And this radio station calls him up, and he's got a peanut butter sandwich in his mouth, and he answers the phone, "Hooray!" And the radio station says, "Who shot Alexander Hamilton?" And he's got the sandwich in his mouth, and he goes, "Aaron Burr!" He says, "Hooray!" He says, "Hold on." Well, he's saying, "Hold on, I've got my milk." And he tries to pour the milk, and he's out. And the radio station hangs up on him because he couldn't answer the question. No memories to what he was about to win, but obviously he was about to win a lot of money because he knew. So it was no real secret that Alexander Hamilton was shot. But how the story unfolded, that's the thing that I wanted to be privy to and absorb myself in, but I wanted to know how we got there. So that 30 minutes I spent was so, so helpful, because I was able to say, okay, so this is where he meets his wife, okay? This is where the scandal with the other woman happens. This is where we get to meet his son. A lot of things that I read and I would say refreshed myself on, but high school history, which, by the way, one of the takeaways, there's two, if not slightly more, huge takeaways I got from seeing Hamilton, one of which was, if only all of high school history could be that engaging. The first probably 25 minutes of me sitting down to watch Hamilton, it takes me a little while to suspend disbelief and, for lack of a better word, not be a hater. And so I was sitting there in the first little bit as they're talking about, I'm not throwing away my shot, I got a million things to do and all of that. it was kind of just like, God, am I going to be listening to some corny short guy do hip hop for the next 3 hours? If I'm going to be an asshole, the answer is yes. But I ended up very much enjoying it. There were... It ended up being a good experience, an immersive experience, and a fun experience to see the show. It made history so much more interesting than Mr. Fay's class or Mrs. Squire's class. And no disrespect to them, history is not particularly interesting to me. And I understand those who do not understand history or are doomed to repeat it or some crap like that. Whatever that quote is, I get that. And as we watch our American and world societies kind of unfold and unfurl and unravel, you can come to understand that certain things that we didn't learn from end up happening again. It's absolutely true. But maybe, just maybe, if our government was presented with all of the information about the past in fun, rhythmic, musical presentation, maybe they'd remember it too. Because, man, high school history was boring. That's why TV shows like Drunk History exist. That's why The Daily Show exists. Because politics, government, history, in large part, it's kind of boring. Hamilton's presentation of it, Jon Stewart's presentation of it, Comedy Central's presentation of it, makes it a little livelier, makes it a little more digestible, a little more palatable. It's all true. And Hamilton did a fantastic job of presenting, of making that history that I read about for 30 minutes come to life in a way that it actually absorbed. I walked away thinking more about the Constitution and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. By the way, if you're wondering, any of my favorite songs were from George Washington. If you cared. My least favorite, and I'm not being sexist, I promise you, but my least favorite songs were mostly from the female side. And it's not because I'm sexist. And it's funny, every time you say that, it just puts you deeper in a hole with somebody who's convinced that you are. But There wasn't but maybe two of the songs sung by women that really helped push the plot along. And it was just kind of a, all right, cool. By the way, here I am telling you a few things because you know what? My future sister-in-laws, they went to see it and nobody prepped them for the show. You do kind of need to be prepped, because if you're used to seeing musicals or Broadway shows, there's usually some kind of mix of spoken dialogue into song. Like they will speak and then they will sing a song to kind of encapsulate that paragraph, and then they move on to the next paragraph or the next scene. There is none of that. I've already said it, but I'm saying it to you live, direct, right now. The only real speaking is within the songs. It's song, 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 song for like 2 hours and 30 minutes. And it was really funny to hear afterwards. My future sister-in-law is saying about the show, yeah, I really had to go to the bathroom. And I just thought, okay, as soon as this song is done, I'm just going to go to the bathroom real quick. I am so sorry for your bladder. That is definitely not how Hamilton worked. Now, I have a another take that I want to share with you. This one isn't as lighthearted, and I feel bad saying it, but at the same time, like, there was... So my fiance asked me, what do you think about the non-white cast? And first of all, I love the connectivity that Lin-Manuel Miranda created by doing a non-white cast. First of all, just for the sheer highlighting of Black and Hispanic and Asian and other actors. First off, I absolutely love that. Because whether you think about it or not, there are great Black opera singers, there are great Black ballet dancers, there are these arts that are so historically and stereotypically white. There are truly talented people that are not white that are doing these things. So it was really cool to see it come to life in that way. And it was also very cool to have music that speaks to me a little more than, like, if you were going to choose to present this information to me, this is the music that would probably be a little bit better at doing it. If I had to sit through some level of opera or classic or more classical singing and you're giving me American history, sweet Lord, that play is not making nearly as much money and not getting any of mine. But here was the one thing that I thought, and it's an unfortunate snap of reality that I say this. It was really cool to see non-white characters taking on the role of people who changed America and took their opportunities and made something so big of themselves that it's lasted for centuries after. And as you absorbed yourself into the show, you had this feeling of, I could do that. When you look, let me continue. So the thing that I always hated about Halloween as a kid, trust me, I'm bringing this together. The thing that I hated about Halloween as a kid was that there was no, little to no fun, uplifting Black characters I could be. You could be a Black vampire, you could be a football player, you could be a baseball player, you could be a soldier. But a lot of the comic book characters I wanted to be, or a lot of the superheroes I would have liked to have been, or action figures I would have wanted to have been, they were all white. And me, even at 6 years old, I was striving for authenticity. I wanted to be Colossus from the X-Men really bad. I wanted to be Spider-Man really bad. And not until Miles Morales came around could you do that. So here's how I bring it back. It was really interesting to see the Founding Fathers and history come to life and having Black characters and Hispanic characters do it. And it made me, as a Black man, feel empowered that I could do that. And then I had this unfortunate quick little snap of reality to say, oh, wait a second. Yes, this is being brought to life in a way that is all-inclusive, but this was in an absolute time where those people on the people that the stage actors are portraying, a large percent of them owned my ancestors. Yeah, I brought it down. I know that. And there was actually bringing it, making it light for one quick second again. There was one anecdotal line in the movie, I think, as Aaron Burr was canvassing to get vote to get nominated, where they make a quick little note to say, it's 1,800 people. Tell your wife, or no, tell your husband to vote for me. Because the women's right to vote didn't happen until considerably later. Early 1900s, I think. Please don't be mad at me for not knowing history. Going back to the fact that history bored me and I didn't really remember. But Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, I think, had something to do with all of that. But the sad truth is, there is a world out there that can be taken. There is change that can be incited, but unfortunately, it is in some way or another related to opportunity. And it's not nearly as related to race as people want it to be, but it sure as hell is related to money. Now, to just real quick to color in that point about, see what I did there, to color in that point about showcasing Black and Hispanic and non-white actors, that's something that Lin-Manuel Miranda did so well because I don't know how easy or hard it is for a young Black kid to take acting classes. I don't know what they cost. And maybe the fact that there's not as many well-known Black ballet dancers, maybe because of opportunity, or because young Black women are being pushed into dance classes that highlight their body shape. Because to be ballet, you need to have pointed toes and slimmer legs and probably thinner hips. That's not something my people do particularly well. We don't do slim. So, the only negative, quote-unquote, takeaway I had from Hamilton was and it's really not about Hamilton that is the negative take. It's really more of a negative take on history itself. Just that the opportunity, well, the not throwing away your shot, the shots were given then and now to those who have the opportunity. And by the way, going back to just how good the story is of Alexander Hamilton, I mean, he's of some small level of mixed race in some way or another, born out of wedlock, excuse me, on an island, sent to the U.S. There's definitely some really good elements to him that make him just a little more approachable, quote unquote, and a little more attainable. But still, by and large, opportunity creates the shot that he took. And in those days, there wasn't a lot there for people like me. So it's not really a knock on Hamilton. It's really more of a knock on the time and the economy and slavery overall, I guess I could just say. Yes, I know, I made it heavy. But it is history. It is a part of America. It's part of American fabric. And if you're going to wear the shirt that is American fabric, or if you're going to wave the flag, you sure as hell better know that that's part of the stripes on the flag, too. Sorry, it took a moment to absorb what I just said. The moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen. I would love to know your thoughts on Hamilton. So here I am giving you just these few little thoughts. If you intend to see it, I'm here to let you know. There's no dialogue. You better go to the bathroom before the show starts, because you're not going to have a chance to go again until intermission. And speaking of, by the way, so I have a severe issue with ladies, you and me, we're going to have a talk for a second. We are in 2021, we're in truly great times for understanding that everybody has rights. We're getting to a much better spot. If nothing else, if nothing else, on a personal level, on a financial and economic level, things are going to hell. But on a personal level, one person at a time, if you want to be a dude, cool. If you want to be a chick, cool. If you want to have nothing in between your legs, like a Ken doll, cool. If you want to be in the middle of one or the other, okay. And now there are so many more bathrooms, or so many more identifications to the bathrooms to match that. I was just in Los Angeles not too terribly long ago, and a lot of the bathrooms say it's either mixed gender bathroom or the very standard, we don't care, just wash your hands bathroom. Moral of the story is, wherever you want to pee, you go ahead and pee. Here's my issue. I don't have any issue whatsoever with people who are in the midst of transitioning and they were born with female parts but are going to end up using the men's bathroom. I don't have a problem with any of y'all. You guys are fine. You know what I do have a problem with? I have a problem with people who jump the line. So we're at a music hall at Fair Park, which is just on the far side of downtown. It's an old theater. And the more and more new stadiums you go to, the more new theaters you go to, they have an unbalanced number of bathrooms. They have more bathrooms for women because women's mechanics overall are a little different. And unless you're like Catherine Hahn's character in Step Brothers, you're not going to stand up to pee. Stay golden, pony boy. But Music Hall at Fair Park is old, and the amount of bathrooms they have and the amount of stalls in the bathrooms, there's a lot less. So the line for women to use the bathroom is really, really, really long. And you know what burns my muffins? It's not women using a men's bathroom. It's women that get out of line and use the bathroom before the women that are standing online. Wait your damn turn. It got to a point, and this has happened at one or two concerts I've been to at older arenas. Funny enough, I think it's called Dos Equis Pavilion now, also in Fair Park in Dallas, an older venue, where I have seen women tidal wave the men's bathroom. Because there's, for a men's bathroom, obviously, there's a wall of urinals, and then there's a smaller corridor of toilets. And because I'm not in the mood to have people look at my whatnot, and I'm not trying to look at anybody else's whatnot, and I really don't like the idea of using a urinal because you always end up splattering. It's true. Every man is just like, yep, it's true. I use a toilet. And I don't care. I unapologetically use a toilet. Whether I have to sit down or not, I'm using it. And so, as the line for the women's bathroom is getting longer and longer and longer, there's women that are starting to walk into the men's bathroom. And I repeat, I don't care what bathroom you use, but you know what I do care about? Because listen, okay. 6-year-old me that used to play with G.I. Joe and Transformers used to be convinced that there was boy toys and girl toys. As a little kid, you just kind of accidentally learn to put square pegs in square holes and round pegs in round holes. We have come to 2021, and that's kind of not how the blocks fall. So I'm all in on this whole concept of if you want to make a star-shaped peg and jam it through a round hole, okay. But listen, ladies, be respectful not only to the men who are, like, okay with their wieners being out as you're coming in to use the toilet. Be respectful of them. But also, be respectful of the women you just freaking usurped on the line. That ain't cool. You know what you should have done, ladies? You should have got up out of your seat a little bit earlier. You should have kept your phone turned off or left on silent and not tagged yourself on Facebook as soon as intermission hit. You know what you should have done? You shouldn't have got that glass of wine. You should have got online for the bathroom. If you knew you had to go, get online. Don't pull this BS of, oh, I'm just gonna sit here and, oh my goodness, I just don't want to get up. There's just so many people down there. Oh, Karen, do you want to get a glass of wine? Oh, I could use a little rosé. No. Get online like the other good little soldiers did. Those ladies that are waiting online to pee, they got online in front of you because they knew. They got up. They followed the common courtesy rules. And you know what you just did, Karen? Because you got in and followed me into the bathroom. You got to pee before they did. And that's disrespectful. And by the way, you know what I did? I sure did just stand in the toilet. Like, not in the toilet, but in the stall where the toilet was. I had already finished peeing. I gave it another 3 minutes just to make the women who cut line, just to make them sweat a little bit more, just to make their bladder pinch just a little bit more. Because you know what? I'm not having it. You don't have to follow the... There may not be any rules anymore about what bathroom you use, but there sure as shit in my world is going to be rules about who gets to use it first. Wait in line like everybody else. Your bladder is no more important. Unless you have some, like, medical release form that says, hey, man, I gotta pee before that bitch over there. I wanna see your paperwork. I don't even care about your birth certificate. I don't care about what you identify as. I just wanna see your paperwork that says my bladder is gonna explode if I don't pee before that chick over there. This rant brought to you by All New, All Different, All of the Above Radio. So what have we learned today, ladies and gentlemen? I am passionate about the economy and how money creates opportunity for actors, ballet, and those who want to change history. And I am passionate about people who jump the line to use the bathroom. And genuinely, ladies and gentlemen, here I am doing a quick woosah and coming back to you to tell you just how much I appreciated that show. Hold that thought. I really liked the show. I didn't know that I would like it as much as I did. I was not expecting to enjoy it as much. But it was a good time. It was, first and foremost, on a personal level, my fiance and my sister and I, we went to dinner first and sat and had drinks and great food, just great bonding. It's been really, really fun to see. It's been really fun for me and my sister to see each other, but it's also been really fun to see a budding friendship between my sister and my fiance. My brother and sister-in-law live in Pennsylvania, so I don't get to see them much. But my sister lives here, and so if I can continue to have a good relationship with my sister, that's awesome. But if my soon-to-be wife and already there sister have some level of friendship and or familiarity, that's pretty cool too. That's all. That it just makes things, it just makes the family dynamic so much easier when everybody is comfortable around each other. Really though, it's just kind of nice, you know? It's kind of nice. So we had a great dinner before we even got to the show. Very serendipitous that we had a free parking lot and were able to go to the bathroom and sit down 2 minutes before the show started. The show was fantastic. Just a really good night. And by the way, just a super quick note. It's not a phrase that I like to use, so I'm going to avoid it. But make sure you take care of you. Make sure that you are seeing the show you want to see. Because you know what? You can always make money. If you're listening to this, you can always make money. If you're experiencing homelessness on the streets of LA right now, I don't picture you're listening to this. But money can be made. Time and experiences are slightly more finite. And spend your time doing things you want to do every now and then. Yeah, sure, work first. Do your homework, then play. But make sure you're doing something with your money. Make sure it's not just going to some invisible investment bank in the sky to retire with a $1 million house at 65. Do some stuff before that. Have good stories as you work. Have good things to talk about. Not just with your spouse or with your sister, but just in general with people. We are now part of the discussion group. We're now part of the talk about Hamilton, which, by the way, we can now be in the room where it happened. I tried. That was not great, but I tried. So here I am telling you a few things. If you want to see Hamilton, go see it. It's worth the time. If you want to see it on stage. It's worth the time. If you want to see it, pee first and know that there's no dialogue. And if you want to listen to the music, you're welcome to. It will help you be familiar. Because that's what my fiance did, and she loved the music, and she enjoyed it, and she was familiar. Now, if you want to take the cheat code, do what I did. Take about a half hour instead of 3 hours and read up on the history. It worked out perfectly for me because I knew what was going to happen, and I could just kind of color in how the lyrics work together. Because, yeah, the lyrics come at you pretty fast, but not too terribly much faster than any song you hear. If you're familiar with how fast some of Eminem is, we're not talking Twista or Tech N9ne here, people. The lyrics were not going by that fast. But I'm glad that I went. I'm glad that I spent 30 minutes reading about it. I'm just glad in general it was a fun experience. It'll be a fun experience for you too if you take those few tips with me. And oh yeah, and as soon as intermission hits, get up and get online for the bathroom. Looking at you, ladies. Looking at you. I got a couple more shows I gotta give to you before the year's end. one of which will be the final status check on my 2021 goal sheet. But then I got two more in between. So we will do this again very soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. My name is Hank. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.